Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're finishing up talking about joining God in doing His purpose now. Not just in our lives, but globally. And when we start to see things His way, we'll see that they're one and the same. That if He wanted to have things different globally, all He'd need to do is think and they'd be different. But His interest is in us, each one of us, every one of us. And His desires and purpose and creativity and motivation is directed and involved in each one of our lives. And when we begin to see how important we are to God as individuals, hopefully we can start taking what He's doing in our lives more seriously, more thoughtfully. A lot of times what we have a tendency to be doing is thinking, with so much going on in the world and so much tragedy in some people's lives, that God doesn't have time for us, or that our problems aren't that big. And I think God just wants us all to recognize that He doesn't have a scale. Everything is equally important to Him and equally doable for Him, because He's planned it, whatever it is. Every cell, every atom, every molecule was not only created by Him, but is even now under His specific direction. If He wanted all the bad guys in the world to have heart attacks right now, they would. If He wanted everybody in the world to become a Christian right now, they would. We have a resistance to His timing and recognizing that His timing is all about us as individuals. On the one hand, we want to have a personal relationship with God and have our personal needs met, but a lot of times we just leave it there and not pursue a personal relationship that takes time and effort and energy and change, and sometimes hurt feelings and sometimes questions and all kinds of wonderful aspects of any relationship. Privilege, though, is that we get to have a relationship with a perfect God who loves us perfectly and unconditionally. We have a hard time with that. It does not fit in with who we think God is and how we think of ourselves. We don't know ourselves very well as spirit beings. And so we prejudge God's involvement in our lives. He's got to have an ulterior motive. Why would He spend any time on us when He's got so much going on, where there are situations where He could be out there getting glory for Himself? As if that was something He was concerned about. Anytime He needs glory, He glorifies Himself. He's not out there going, okay, I need a glory fix. I need an honor fix. Nobody's recognizing what a great God I am. he's not that petty. He's not. He does not have any needs. He is not lacking in any area. He's not even self-conscious about it. He's like, I will glorify myself. So we don't need to worry about meeting God's needs. We don't need to make him happy. We don't need to honor him. Now, we do those things, we honor him because that's good for us, to recognize that he's deserving of honor. But guess what? He knows that. We need to do a lot of these things. And this is why it always comes back to, it's about us. And that's a lot of times it's hard for us to think in those terms. Again, with everything going on in the world and even in our families and our communities and one step out to our state, our region, our country, this world, there's so many problems going on. God doesn't have time for my little situation where I'm mad at somebody about something. To think that he's going to stop what he's doing and talk to me about that and heal my wound, that's kind of presumptuous. And yet that's all he's about. He is so big and had such foresight in creating you that he knew that right this moment that would be the situation you're in and would ask for his help to heal that wound, to release that anger and restore that relationship or whatever your situation is. Nothing is too small. It's all equal. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're one of the Billy Graham type or just you and me type or someone in prominence or somebody who will never be known at all. God doesn't care because he doesn't have a rating system. You are as important to him as the President of the United States or the King of Syria or Saudi Arabia. Name anybody. You are as important to him as that person, for good or bad. For you and I, because we have been born again, we have been re-inspirited. His intent is clear. He will not let you remain unchanged. Now, he may not be changing you where other people can see it. And the cycle that you're on may not be what evident to what other people see, but that's his problem. And, of course, we get frustrated with others and we get frustrated with ourselves. Why doesn't God do things this way? Or why doesn't he do things faster? That's usually where we're at, or sometimes slower. God, there's too much going on. Slow things down. But most often it's, God, why don't you just take care of this right now? Just wave your magic wand. I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. Well, he just doesn't do things that way. Because it's the process that matters. It's countering our temperament. If it was up to us, any of us, we all have a temperament. God gave us a soul. He likes it. It's exactly what he wanted us to have for this time here on this earth, at least. And it's exactly what he wanted. The thing is it has strengths and weaknesses. And we would all like to be able to get along on our strengths and not have to deal with those weaknesses. God is not out to fix your weaknesses or manage your strengths. He's instead out to enfold them, both into your spirit. Bring your soul into unity, your mind, will, and emotions, into unity with each other and into your spirit. Again, not by changing it, but so that it is not our focus. Let's go back to Adam and Eve for a second. When Adam and Eve were first in the garden, they were naked. But they didn't know they were naked. They didn't know each other at all, other than by their spirit. Because their spirit was fully intact. And their spirit was on the outside. So when they saw each other, they saw spirit to spirit. Their spiritual faculties, their spiritual sight, smell, hearing, was all working. They knew each other spirit to spirit. We have this idea that God's creation was all about the body. But it was a package deal. It was spirit, soul, and body. When they died spiritually, and their spirit was no longer living, they saw each other's physical body for the first time. They had to use their solical senses, but more so their physical senses, for the first time. I can't imagine the shock. But you are, and I are in the opposite dilemma. We have learned to rely on our physical senses and our solical understanding. That to know what it's like to be spirit is incomprehensible. Our really only example is Jesus. If we were to start saying, well, you're like Jesus, or even to say, I'm a saint, we have a hard time not thinking of that as arrogance, laughable, you know, incomprehensible, and that person needs to be taken down a peg or two. And yet, spiritually speaking, it's true. To say that you are Jesus' brother right now, that you inherited 2,000 years ago, you inherited everything that Jesus inherited. All the abilities, all the knowledge, all the power, the faith, the foreknowledge, the creativity, the relationship with Father, the control over time, anything you think of when you think of Jesus, the ability to move mountains. He gave that ability to people before they were even spirit beings. And he said, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you said to this mountain, be thou removed, it would be moved. They weren't even Christians because he hadn't died yet. But he was there. His presence was there. And it was invigorating their spirit already. That's what happened when Moses went up to the mount, spent time with God. He had that spirit capability within him. It was dormant because it was not alive and from, it was not connected to the source, God. But when he came in close proximity to the source, absorbed that spirit. And then when he went back down to the people, his face glowed. I suspect his whole being glowed. His spirit had been energized. But over time, it faded because he was no longer in proximity to God. But you and I are reconnected spiritually with God. This is why I can guarantee we're not in the end times, whatever that means. This is not the end of time. This is not the end of this world. Because one of the promises that we have is that there will be a church without spot or wrinkle. And one of the significant parts of that is we would be one. Jesus' promise would be fulfilled. He said, Father, I pray that they be one, even as we are one. We're not there. We don't know each other after the Spirit. We could even say, if I can see your body, you're not spirit. We think about the Mount of Transfiguration and how many times Jesus, his physical body transfigured because it was not the source of his being here on this earth. He was spirit who had a soul and lived in a body. That's so incomprehensible. We think, well, that's Jesus because he was the Son of God. Well, if only the Son of God can raise the dead, for instance. We've got a lot of examples in the Bible that we need to rip out. If only the Son of God can do miracles, we need to toss out quite a few books of the Scriptures. But that's not what happened. It's not. Jesus did those things not because he was the Son of God, but because he was spirit. He was born of God, just like you and I. He made it possible for us to be reconnected, to be plugged back in. And once we are replugged, that's it. We are starting to be recharged even as we speak. Just like you'd plug in the battery on your computer or your phone, it takes a while to charge. And then updates are downloading and they have to be installed and all kinds of things are going on while the recharge is going. And the same thing with us. There's a lot going on while we're being recharged. Then when we restart, we have to figure out what just happened. The way a program used to work doesn't work that way anymore. It's been updated. And it looks different. We have to relearn it. Well, God does that to us on a regular basis. What used to work yesterday may not work today. He may have let us get away with things yesterday that, nope, not today. Fortunately, there's things that, habits that we can embrace as part of our lifestyle that keep us in tune with him. And those are the things that we are constantly coming back to, spending time with him and learning to hear his voice, how to test it and how to respond. It's really not that hard. It's not easy. But understanding it is not hard. Just doing it. How he works that through each one of us is going to be different. And what is important to you? When God says that he gives us the desires of our hearts, we think that if we desire it, God's going to give it. If the desire is from him, he's going to get it, give it. That's what that means. No, it's what do you desire? Where did that desire come from? If you have any desire at all to know him, to be one with him, if the idea of being one with him, hearing from him clearly, being available, being involved in what he's doing, if any of that is exciting for you, he's guaranteed that desire to be fulfilled. How do I know that? Because God keeps his promises. He doesn't tease us. He doesn't say, here, I've got great things for you, but you can't have them. He gives us desires. And he gives us desires of what he wants us to have. So we name it. We say, and we get specific. We, Lord, this is really intriguing to me, Lord. I want to be able to hear your voice in the night season. I want to have healing in this area. Lord, I want to know about this situation. Is there anything I can do about this? And then we ask him, Lord, I have this desire. Is this desire from you? And you start talking to him about it. And that's exactly the road he wants you on. That goes back to Jesus' relationship with his father. We think, okay, he was born, became a little baby, grew up, always knowing God. To learn. Scriptures say he learned obedience through the things he suffered. He learned. We think, oh, no, he knew. It's like, no. He learned. There was a process. There's a learning curve. Jesus had a learning curve. He started out not good at things and ended up being really good at things. But what's the difference between his approach and our approach? So who did he learn it from? He didn't make it up on his own. He didn't go to Mary or Joseph or his brothers or the town elder. The difference between him and us is that from the very beginning, he knew how to go to Father. Because there was no barrier. He had no sin. So his spirit was born one with Father's spirit. But soulically, he still had to learn how to live and walk and move as a spirit being here on this earth. So for you and I to think, okay, that God's just going to change us in a twinkling of an eye, and then we will be perfect and spend eternity in heaven on a throne or something like that, walking on streets of gold or whatever, that he's going to do that change, boom, like that, just wave a magic wand in whatever way, shape, or form you're thinking. And yet his own son had to learn. Now, it's also interesting that he spent 30 years learning. He was perfect. He was born, created as a new being here on this earth, already perfect, already hearing God, already one spirit, soul, and body. And it still took him 30 years to learn from the Father what he needed to learn for a 3-year ministry. And we all want it now. And we're nowhere near his readiness. Why didn't Jesus start when he was 14 years old? Child prodigy. He knew God. He was God. Why didn't he start his ministry then? He wasn't ready. Wait a minute. He's perfect. How can he not be ready? Because he was still spirit, soul, and body. He still had to go through a learning curve to be here on this earth. There was still a process. So we get so results-oriented. We want whatever the goal is, we want to reach that goal. We are productive-oriented. What have we done for God lately? What has God done in us lately? How are we doing? When the doing, getting there is the process, is not what's important. It's the process. Are we depending on Him? Are we going to the Father to learn? Are we knowing Him? So again, this is eternal life, to know God experientially, continually, purposefully. So that we are in the process of becoming. Becoming what? Who knows? I wonder sometimes if Jesus, when he came here, did he lose his understanding of why he came? I kind of suspect he did. He had to, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he had three great figures telling him, this is what you're here for. And this is what's going to happen. And again, he was then the Son of God. Was there something he didn't know? Now, we can say, well, it was for the benefit of others as a testimony. But we also know that what God had in store for him, what his Father had in store for him, he would have preferred to pass by, to find another way to do it. If Jesus was not fully human, if he did not have the same type of soul that you and I do, if he did not have the same type of body that you and I do, he would not have been our Savior. He needed to go through the same learning curve in order to be the way. Not just show us the way, but be the way. This is the way. Walk you in it. Walk you in it. And he is that way. He made the way. If we do with him what he did, going to the Father, being taught by the Father, being sent by the Father, being healed by the Father, even being wounded by the Father. Everything that happened in Jesus' life was specifically crafted by his Father. This is why he said, Father, why have you turned your back on me? He knew the answer. But he was still experiencing that rejection. So he was fully human. And you and I are on that pathway back to be spirit, soul, and body. One, as he and the Father are one. So we will pick it up here next week. In the meantime, if you have any questions or comments or thoughts, any feedback, feel free to drop me a line at the Rainers Club, Diane@therainersclub.org, or through Blog Talk Radio. But really, again, go to the Father. That's the foolproof path. It's through him, through Jesus. That's what he died for, was so that you could go to the Father. Learn to hear his voice, to test it, and then act on it. So until next week, thanks for tuning in, This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.